and seeing if they're in tomorrow practice, just to kind of feel like they're on the right track back.
You see the energy that they show up with. You know, today's a off day for them, so there's a couple guys I think that will go in and get treatment and whatnot. But tomorrow we come back starting with meetings, you know, what's their mindset like? What's their energy level like? What's it going to be like when we hit the practice field?
Are there any injuries that anybody not practicing tomorrow?
I don't know. I haven't met with Padu's yet, but didn't seem like there was anything serious that I was concerned with. So.
What about for you? When you talk about their energy and their mindset, what's it been like for you to process this?
Ready to go. I'm going to go play the Giants. Put the game to bed last night. We watched it and graded it on the plane ride home. Met as a staff today and went over the film, you know, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And now we're fully on to the New York Giants.
What stood out to you on the film when you looked at it? You know, there were a lot of things you couldn't tell us yesterday. For instance, what happened on the punt block, things like that.
Yeah, punt block wasn't I think it may have been even like a 3.5-man rush. We just had a guy trying to escape and get down the field too quick, trying to cover the punt and not taking care of the little things. And it's a lot of times the deals in the details. You know, the little teeny things that you got to take care of. Especially when you're playing such a good football team, you can't make mistakes like that. But it wasn't even a designed punt block. It was just had a guy trying to escape too quick and get down the field to cover Holiday. I think maybe had that on his mind more than he did about protection first, and it's a protection first play. And then you turn into, you know, you got to be an offensive player first on punt, and then you're a defensive player when you cover. So, you know, part of it is just when you watch the tape, it's just you get things you can't get back, you know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But, you know, what I think is we need to make sure we show that to our guys, we correct it, and then we get out on the field and make sure it doesn't happen again.
To play you man-to-man, you talked about before how that kind of opened things up for Michael, and he took some of those yards and scrambling. But would you prefer that, him to take those yards, or would you prefer that, you know, guys win more individual matchups and
you
throw the ball
down? I prefer how do we get yards out of the deal. So, you know, we got to do a better job at times separating. Sometimes we're throwing the ball a little bit farther down the field, you know, trying to take some shots. And then if they do that and take off, I thought Mike made some really good decisions of when his feet can become a weapon for you, because if you're going to play man, the one thing they don't have is the ability to cover the quarterback at the same time. So. But we need to get yards out of those situations, and we got to do a better job, I think, in protecting them. We got to do a better job of getting open.
Did your receivers win enough, though? Did they win enough for you to be successful as an offense in the passing game?
On Sunday?
Yeah.
No. I mean, we didn't win the game, did we?
You've spoken a few times about settling for 3 when you need 7. I think there's only 5 red zone touchdowns this year. What's the issue when you get down there? Is it a player thing? Is it play?
There's a lot of things. I mean, you look at specifically yesterday, penalties and drops. You know, we're in the red zone, we drop the ball, we're in the red zone, or potentially in the red zone once, get a penalty, in the red zone another time, you get a penalty. So when you set yourself back and now you're playing first and 20s or second and 20s, that makes it a little bit difficult. So when we get in the red zone, we talk about no sacks, no turnovers, no penalties. And no drops, and those are the things that are hurting us. Right now it's been the penalties and it's been the drops. So.
Well, on those 2 early drives where you had the field goals, I think you had 4th and 4 in the red zone, how much did you consider going forward in those instances?
Didn't consider it at all.
There's some thought that there would be more aggressiveness on offense or more gambling given the fact of what you're going up against with the Broncos offense. So can you just explain the approach and why you decided to go in a more conservative way?
I don't think that's conservative. I think at that point in time when we made those decisions, we're trying to get points.
What concerns you most about special teams right now?
Just the inconsistency. I think at times it's been a real strength for us. And, you know, the mistakes that were made, you know, especially on the kickoff return, the kickoff and the punt are things that we work on a daily basis. So it's, you know, things that it's not like we put in a new scheme or we put in something special for the Broncos game that, hey, we're going to try to do this. And then you kind of look at it and say, you know, that scheme kind of backfired. It's a, you know, base fundamental coverage and base fundamental protection then coverage that we didn't get done on those 2 particular plays. So,
they'll live on Alex Henry. What's the patience level with him at this point?
You know, I think Alex is a really good kicker. I think he's been very accurate throughout his entire career. You know, it's interesting when you analyze his 3 misses, and they're both from 40 to 49 yards. One was right, one was left, and one was right. So. You know, when we look at everything, when someone does make a mistake, how do we correct it? You know, not that you want them, but if it was all 3 of them were left, then you would say, hey, we're analyzing where his plant foot is and how he's doing. Is he swinging through the ball and kind of pulling it? Or is he not blocking his hips out and pushing the balls? You know, but it was a right, left, right kind of where we've been with it. So, you know, we'll continue to work with him. He's been extremely accurate. I think he's 85% of his career. Just right now we're 7 for 10. on field goals, and when you're playing in games like this and against really good teams, that stuff gets magnified. So, but I do have confidence in him. I know Coach Phipp has confidence in him. I think he's a real accurate kicker. I see him in practice every single day, and but from a kicking standpoint, I'm pretty confident in him.
On Denver's third offensive drive, they went out, started out with two tight ends, and Boykin was out there playing kind of like a quasi outside linebacker, and it seems every time they kept running at him. Is that a matchup that's you know favorable for you guys?
Boykin playing outside linebacker against two tight ends?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Jeff, Michael Vick said that he's going to be watching closely some of the veteran guys on the team, making sure he keeps everybody together. Are you also talking with the guys about keeping heads up?
Yeah, we talked to everybody about that. You know, I don't think that's anything that's uncommon when, you know, we lost a couple games now that we got to talk about what our attitude is like and how we approach this week and getting ready to go play the Giants. So.
There are a couple of plays that the Broncos were able to make when Boykin blitz from the slot. Is that are your safeties not getting into their coverage spot at the right time in that situation?
No, I guess I'd have to know the specific play you're talking about, but there's a lot of things when you're playing someone like Peyton is that, you know, you can show exactly what you're going to do. That's where you play that cat and mouse game is, you know, we had a pretty good disguise on that play and didn't show them and tip our hand. But if you don't tip your hand, then sometimes you're not close enough to your work. You know, so it's that kind of catch 22 from where you are is that, yeah, we could put Boykin right on the line of scrimmage and then roll the safety down right on top of him. But now you've told him exactly what we're giving him. So, you know, when you're playing someone that's so that is so good like Peyton is you're in that game of how long do we hold our disguise and is our disguise a liability? You know, the same thing happened to them a couple times is they blitz a linebacker from depth, you know, and didn't give us any indication that it was going to be a blitz. But then we threw the shallow crossing route and hit the guy before the linebacker could get to the quarterback. So sometimes the unblocked guy doesn't get to the quarterback because the disguise is a liability. But the flip side of it is that if you show everybody what you're doing, then, you know, with someone as good as Peyton, he may check out of it and go the other way. So
there also seems to be some running plays which there were some very large gaps in between Fletcher Cox and Trent Cole. Mm-hmm. I guess Kendricks is the guy responsible for that, but it's a pretty large
gap. You knew the play call?
No, I don't know. I'm saying it looked like he was. I'm just saying, are those gaps?
Again, I'm not being evasive, but I don't know if you tell me the particular play and play 62 on this thing, I can tell you what a play call was and tell you who's responsible for that gap. But a lot of times, you just can't look at from the outside and say, hey, you know, that was the linebacker's gap. That could have been, we should have been slanting into that gap, you know, so.
Are the gaps too big? Are the gaps too wide?
Again, it depends on what we're playing. They both could have been responsible for the A gap and the C gap, and Mike should have been in the B gap. I don't know until I know exactly what particular play you're talking about. But there are some times when we're running plays and it's a run play, and whether we're not getting our defensive lineman into the B gap where he's supposed to be, or we're not getting the linebacker there. So you're right in that there is a big gap, but I can't tell you on the specific play that it was this guy's responsibility or that guy's responsibility.
Is it one of your stars? You were talking about him a lot in training camp, his physical abilities. Is he struggling a little bit in coverage and then also wrapping up and tackles, though?
No, I think wrapping up and tackling, yeah. And I think we've talked to Michael about that, and I know Rick's worked with him on that, and that's some of the things. I think sometimes Michael thinks a little bit too much and doesn't let himself go play and just kind of, you know, pull the trigger and go. But he does, obviously, everybody's aware of his athletic ability. As he continues to grow and figure out exactly what we're doing scheme-wise and things like that, I think you'll continue to see him get better and better and better because he does have that athletic ability. But there's sometimes I think he's a little bit hesitant. He's just got to kind of go.
And his coverage, do you think, is that consistent? Is he doing all right there?
He's doing all right there, yeah.
You mentioned last night after the game Michael's taken too many hits, especially the last 2 weeks. You said it's something we have to address. How do you address it at this point?
Yeah, I'm talking from a protection standpoint. You know, I don't even think we had a run play where Mike took off and ran with the ball. You know, but there's times when you're calling seven-man protections and you're varying your protections in terms of where you are, where you don't expect him to get to the top of his drop and have someone in his face. So there's not one thing and there's not one answer that it's this. And if we make this adjustment, then we're going to be good. It's all of a sudden we're in great and someone who's been playing fantastic for 52 plays on the 53rd play makes a mistake up front. And when you get beat in a one-on-one situation, then all of a sudden somebody that you expected to be picked up has now created some penetration into the backfield. So,
what did you see from Lane Johnson specifically in pass protection yesterday?
I think Lane's gotten better. But, again, when you got a young guy like him, I think Lane is not unlike Michael in terms of there's times where you just got to go. You know, you just got to trust what it was. What was a line call made by Jason Kelce? This is what it was. Don't hesitate. And sometimes when you're a half a second late, you know, and when you're on the guy, then all of a sudden he's got your back shoulder, you know, where I think Lane knows exactly what to do, but at times it's just the game's got to happen just a little bit quicker for him.
You've talked about moving from the wide 9-4-3 to the 2-gap 3-4. Are you far as long as you thought you would be there? Do you feel like you have the proper personnel to run what you're running right now? And is it sort of like a sliding scale where you can kind of go back towards a 4-3 based on your personnel and what they could do?
How many questions is that?
I got four in there.
Four in there. Good. That's good by you. We never had a where we're going to be. You know, I think it's always where those – where what the ability of our players are to do. You know, and I think you're closer to a four down front at times. But it depends on what people are doing to you. If they're really trying to run the ball, you know, I think playing a two-gap set the edge type of defense with people trying to smash and do those different things, it really depends on who you're playing and what the scheme is. But most of the time when we're in nickel, you know, when Brandon's in the game, we're mostly in a four-down package. So you're more towards a four-down package. But a lot of that, it's dependent on who you're playing and what they're trying to do. And if they're trying to throw the ball on you, you're going to be in more four-down against them.
So. In these past 2 weeks, what are defenses doing against Deshaun that's limiting his production relative to
I think we've seen just a little bit more man, you know, and I think that's overall with everybody, you know. But I also think we've been productive moving the football. I still think we're stopping ourselves. You know, we're not getting stopped by a scheme and we're not getting stopped by a look. I think, you know, we've been in situations where we've driven the football and we've proven we can drive the football. But, again, the penalties, you know, 2 weeks ago when we played the Chiefs, it was the turnover situation and the false starts and the illegal procedures and those things that I think handcuffed us as a football team. I think this past day it was the two holding penalties and the drops that hurt us as a football team.
Did you notice a trend where either Peyton either checked into the run or maybe the play call was a run to start with when you had Logan and Gathers out there and your second team D-line?
You know, I think the one thing with Peyton is you can't tell what the trend is because you don't know what the first call was. You know, and there's a lot of times with Peyton knowing the system where it could have been a run to a run, and it could have been a run to a run to a run. And there's other times where the first play that he called, he didn't check, but he made it seem like he checked it three times. You know, that's kind of the beauty in having a Peyton Manning. But no one knows. It's easy to sit here and say, hey, he checked to a run. You have no idea what he checked to because you don't. No one's privy to what the first play call was.
Well, so. How do you feel about those two guys in that line and second team line that you would put in?
Who
Logan Gathers, and then sometimes it looked like Soap Water, but it was really kind of second team line.
Yeah, that wasn't second team line. It was just depending on what we're in. Soap's in base, but he's not in a nickel. You know what I mean? So that's kind of when Soap is in the game. So, you know, I think all those guys were okay. You know, they weren't dominant up front, and we weren't obviously taking control of everything at certain points in times. But, you know, I can't look at them in general. I guess say they were okay.
How much is it the ability of your secondary yesterday with as many receivers that appeared to be wide open?
What was the first part of that question?
Well, the ability of your secondary. Basically, Chip, are they good enough?
I think it's a combination of all, and I've always said that, is it's pass rush and coverage ability. You know, and it's not, you just can't lay it on one. I think you need to generate a pass rush, the quarterback has to get the ball out in a certain amount of time, and then we have to be close enough to our work so that when we does get the ball out that we're there. So.
Very successful with the short, quick passes against you this year. The Broncos were as well. Why do you think that is? What are they doing, and what do you guys need to do in order to, you know, stop them?
I mean, I think you're picking your poison. I mean, you can say, all right, now we crawl up on everybody and play press man on everybody. But then, you know, the one thing we're not, except for the long pass, you know, right at the end of the first half, which shouldn't have been thrown on us because we should have been in cover three with a post safety. But we're not getting the ball thrown over our head, you know, and I think that's when – the biggest things I think our defense has done a good job is eliminate X plays. You're not giving up a 75, 80 yarder that's thrown over your head. So, you know, I think it depends. If you're going to throw the ball down in front of us, we've got to rally up, we've got to tackle you, and we've got to make you drive the field a little bit. And I think that's what we're trying to do now. We want to be in our zones deep to short, make sure we get 11 guys running to the football, and hopefully, you know, we can get a little bit of pressure on the quarterback and not let him throw an accurate ball that's a catchable, runnable type play.
Is that frustrating?
And when you guys are giving those short things underneath that sometimes they're not – you got to make the tackles in this
situation. Make tackles, yeah. But, I mean, you got to defend something, you know. And right now I know we're real adamant about not giving up X plays and not getting the ball thrown over our head. So.
Can you talk about the line of changes or
as bad as it appeared yesterday, is there anything positive you can take out of that? How do you move forward from a game like that?
Yeah, I think we did some good things. You know, I think offensively we moved the ball. There's correctable mistakes there. I thought we competed on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think we left them on the field a little bit too much in the third quarter there. And I think in special teams, besides from the punt block and that kickoff return, you know, we're getting a decent job and decent effort out of those guys. So I think there are some positives, and that's what you look at the negatives and you put a plan in place to correct what we're doing wrong, and then build upon the positives as we get ready to go play the Giants.
What do you want them to learn from a game like that?
To not let it happen again.
You called to make lineup changes or personnel changes after that game?
No, I think it's unique. It's we got 46 guys on our roster. I think almost all 46 played. So it's not like we're not getting guys in the game and guys aren't playing and aren't giving us an opportunity right now. And it's not different than, you know, you don't have a whole other guys. Like, let's put these guys in. You know, we're rotating our defensive linemen and getting those guys in the game. Jacob Knott played a little bit of inside linebacker. Casey played some outside linebacker in Connor Barwin's situation. Obviously, we were man down at safety with Pat being out. But, you know, Wolf played a lot of snaps. Nate played a lot of snaps. You know, we rotated a little bit at receiver. We started to get some of our tight ends into the game. I think you saw three running backs in the game. So, I don't, there's not going to be, hey, this guy's starting this week. But I think we need to get all 46 guys playing.
What did you think of the way your safeties played? You mentioned Nate and Earl played a lot.
I think Nate played better in the last 2 weeks, you know, and you've seen some improvement from them. I love Earl's energy and running around, but he's still a young rookie, just like a lot of our rookies, and he made a few mistakes. Should have been in the middle of the field on that, that deep pass down the middle. But I love Earl's energy, and I love, you know, he's going to fly around. He's going to give you everything he's got, but he's still learning on the job.
I think that was one of Bradley Fletcher's better games.
In the four that I've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I thought Fletcher did a nice job.
Evolved a little more, some more 12 personnel. Was that the plan going in, or is that more of what they were showing you on the defensive side?
No, it was. We thought, you know, based on what they did, that we could get a little bit more 12 in the game and see how they, you know, see how they matched up and ran. If you're going to play man, now who's matching up in man? And when you're in 12 and trying to get those guys isolated a little bit, so that was kind of the plan going in. I think Zach has continued to develop a little bit. Just we see more and more from him, you know, on a weekly basis here as he starts to continue to grasp what we're doing.
You didn't throw it to him.
That why, I mean, he's not a great blocker. Don't you have him out there to use him?
No, I mean, I would disagree that he's not a great blocker. I think Zach's a versatile guy that you can put in the game in a lot of different situations. So when the ball was thrown to him, he did come up and catch it, though. So.
But we spoke when drafting him about his versatility, splitting wide, playing in the slot. Mm-hmm. Is that a role you expect him to
expect him to grow, and as he's here, I think, you know, he's four games into his professional football career. So, you know, to see him run around and line up all over the place like Jimmy Graham from the New Orleans Saints, I don't think any of us envisioned that as we put together an offense and start to figure out what he's good at, what he's not good at. But to say, hey, you've gotten two snaps at tight end now let's put you out at split end, and now let's take you, put you in the slot, that's a lot easier said than done. You know, to get all the little nuances of how to do all the little things when you're running a shallow crossing route, and if all of a sudden that front side linebacker drops you but the backside linebacker picks you up man-to-man, how you can stick and avoid and get across the field. You know, there's a lot of details in terms of doing it. It's not as easy as saying, hey, we drafted this guy and he's got the ability. Yeah, he does. But I also think we also got to get him settled. You know, he's got to make sure that, you know, we all as a group got to understand that everybody here has to, you know, you got to walk before you can run. You know, there's a lot of big plans that you can do with Zach and that we can do with this entire offense. But it's going to come in a process. It's not going to come with all of a sudden tomorrow we're going to come up with 17 different ways where we can deploy Zach and put him in different situations, because it's not unfair to him to tell him, you know, this is what you have to do in these situations. He's got to be able to kind of go through them himself, and through the experience of playing the game, I think he's going to learn that.
There's only so many snaps to go around the offensive side of the ball. You talked about getting Bryce more involved. He was more involved. But Chris Polk got in there when LeSean had sit, and he ran very strongly and had the touchdown. Is there any chance that maybe he could see a little more time?
Yeah, I think Chris warranted some playing time from yesterday. I was really happy with him. I think we've been pleased with Chris in terms of what he's done for us so far from a special team standpoint. And then when he got his opportunity, I thought he ran really hard. I thought he made a really nice decision on a pass route where we threw to him on the sideline. It ended up being a 9-yard gain for us. So You know, that's the good thing about it is I think we have some competition amongst some of those positions where we can say, hey, we got some guys here, we got some versatility here, and we can use those guys. And I think Chris is a guy on Saturday, I mean on Sunday, that caught our eye. And you know, you're going to have to look at it and say, hey, Chris is in the game. Well, good, Chris is in the game. You know, this is what Chris does well, and this is what we need to do when he's in the game.
About playing more man, the team's playing you more man. Does Mike need to? How much more does he need to trust his receivers when teams are doing that against him? And maybe that they're not open at the time that he's throwing a ball, but trust that they're going to get open.
It depends on what play. There's maybe one play where, yeah, he should have let it rip, but then there's other plays where we got to do a better job getting open, then there's other plays where we got to do a better job protecting him. So, you know, I mean, it's a combination of the whole thing. But there's not one answer where you can come back and just say, hey, Mike, trust your receivers. But the three techniques in my face, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different things. But I don't think we're far away offensively. You know, I look at what we've done consistently in four games. I think we know as a group we can move the football. But sometimes the enemy that we play isn't the other team, it's ourselves.